to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And out of reverence to God, stand as His word is read. And I'll be reading verses 9 through 13. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You may be seated. As we're studying through the Gospel of Matthew, it just got brighter. Okay. We are in verse 11. Wednesday, we were looking at verses 10 and part of 11. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we're looking at this, we need to remember that this prayer is a model for us to pray. Not to pray it, because Jesus says that some people think they can be heard because of their long prayers or their vain repetitions, just saying the same thing over and over and over again. Now, let me ask you, some people that sang the hymns today, you've sang them before, did you think about the words? Sometimes we sing the songs and don't think about the words. Sometimes we read God's word and don't think about what He says. Sometimes we pray to God and don't think about what we're praying. We need to think about what we're praying. And when we looked at Wednesday, your kingdom come. Now, we need to remember, God is the one that created everything. He is not sitting in a corner waiting to be crowned king. He already is king. What we're looking at here is not His authority over everything, but our recognition of His authority. It's God's reign in the heart of men, if you will. God is already the king of the universe. God is already the one that's going to determine where we spend eternity. And I think, do we have the hot sign out? I know. On our marquee, it says, if you think it's hot here. Okay, and then it references the scripture in Revelation to the lake of fire. You think it's hot here, just wait. You know, we were doing some work yesterday up in the attic trying to resurrect a dead air conditioner unit. We don't have the resurrection ability. It's the whole bottom of one of the units is rusted out. It's just no fixing. It's we're thinking about putting a piece of metal there and duct tape it on. There's not nothing to duct tape it to. It's just, it's seen its life, and it needs to be buried. Well, but we have the other ones working, so we've got the humidity out. It's not too bad. And interesting, it's the one time right now since the one back here is working that it's cooler up here than down there. But the cool will get to you in a little bit. Well, God is the king of the universe. We can see just a certain distance with the best telescopes we have. But God's beyond that. God created everything, and He says it's all in the palm of His hand. He is not waiting to be king, but He's waiting for us to acknowledge that He is king of our lives. Because He doesn't force us to accept His authority over our lives, even though He does have authority over our lives. He desires a personal relationship with each one of us. He gives us what's called a free will. We can choose to acknowledge that He's in charge and we're not, or we can choose to reject that He's in charge. It doesn't mean that He's not in charge if we reject His authority. He is still in charge. But He desires a relationship with us. And if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, with the God Almighty, we will not spend an eternity in the air-conditioned place. We will be in the hot place. God desires all of us to be in heaven, and it doesn't talk about any heat problems in heaven. Well, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the angels don't go around second-guessing God. There was a rebellion in heaven. Satan led a third of the angels. They were trying to overthrow God. Imagine that. They knew who God is. They knew God is the creator. And said Satan, who would basically be the choir director of heaven, decided, I want to be in charge. I want to be the one sitting on the throne. They were expelled from their place of service in heaven. They still have to report back to heaven. Read the book of Job. The book of Job talks about, and the time when all the angels come and present themselves to God, Satan also came. He still has to go before the throne of God and report into what he's doing. Satan doesn't think he can overthrow God anymore. He knows he's condemned. And he's like a prisoner on death row that wants to take as many down with him as he can. Satan, if you will, is prisoner number 666. He has an eternity in the lake of fire waiting him. He's just out on, not parole, but waiting the execution of his sentence. Well, Jesus says our prayer should be, God, we pray that your kingdom is done on earth as it is already being done in heaven. May your will be accomplished on earth. There used to be a day when people said, what decision should we make? Let's ask God and check in with the decision to see if God agrees with it. Well, too often today we think we're God. And part of it comes from the next phrase. Give us today our daily bread. Now, it starts with the phrase, give us. Well, got a little dog that always wants to be given food. And it will lie. It'll get those puppy dog eyes and say, your wife didn't feed me. He can still have some of the, or she can still have some food out of her mouth. Or if I feed her, we'll look up at Lon and go, your husband didn't feed me. And just acting like hungry all the time. I think her middle name should be Hoover because she also likes to sit under the dining table waiting for something to be dropped. And unfortunately, we don't drop very much for her. Fortunately for us, it's easier to clean up. But give us. It reminds us the source of where everything comes from. Now that little dog doesn't make its own food. It waits on someone else to give it food. We need to recognize everything we have comes from God. Look with me at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good, notice it says every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. But you might say, but what about what I earn? That doesn't come from God, does it? Well, God addresses that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're bouncing back and forth. I mean, sort of Bible drill. And it's not fair. Some of you with those electronic Bibles can get there so much faster. But that's okay. Because there's some of those books are like just one page thick and you pass right by it. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth, in order to confirm his covenant he swore to your fathers as it is today. You say, it's my ability I earn the paycheck. If God decides that you don't have the help to get up, you're not going to go earn anything that day. Unless your job is testing out mattresses for Mattress Mac. Yeah. But there's not too many jobs where your job is just to lay in bed. God is the one that gives us the ability, the opportunities. It's all from God. And in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28, where Paul is talking to the intellectuals in Athens, he says, "It is God from whom everything comes." Everything was created by God, and he desires a relationship with us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, God said he made every tree, every fruit-bearing plant to give us food. That was part of his original design. He created what we need. And then back in our passage in Matthew chapter 6, give us today. And today refers to our time of need. Later on in chapter 6, look at verse 35, or verse 33 rather. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And if you go back and start in verse 25, it talks about, think about the birds. They don't worry about where they get their food. God takes care of them, gives them everything they need. And when you go out the front door here, if you go out there, if you've been like me, you look over there at the nest where they had the first set of birds. They're not there. They're behind and over the door. They made a whole nother nest. And there's a new set of little chicks in there. And, you know, they're not worried about where they're getting their food because they know mom and dad's bringing it just a minute. And mom and dad, now, they might be coming in or going out, and so they might buzz you a little bit, but they're going to where the food is that God provided, and they're bringing it back to their little babies. Well, God has taken care of us. We are more valuable than the birds that God takes care of. And then it says, give us today our. God has a personal interest in each of us. God doesn't just fly a C-130 over and they push out all the food and you got to run and fight for it. No, God can give each individual exactly what we need. In Exodus, the nation of Israel had come out of Egypt. And they started complaining, "Wait, we don't have any food to eat." God said, "I'll give you food. Every morning you'll go out and there'll be dew. And that dew will dry a little bit and there will be bread out all over the field. Go gather it." And they called it, what is it? That's what the Hebrew word manna means. What is it? What is it? It's a manna. And we still have that word manna. The manna from heaven is the what is it from heaven. And God provided, what is it, every morning for 6 days. Now the neat thing about this, God says there's enough. Everybody get 2 quarts per person. So you go out in the morning, you get your 2 quarts. If you got it, it may be your elbows and shoulders and knees are hurting a little bit. And you only gather 1 quart. When you got home, you found out you had 2 quarts. And if you gathered 8 quarts, you got home and found out you had 2 quarts. God worked it out that each person had exactly what they need. And he said, don't keep it overnight. You need to go out each morning, except for the sixth day. You gather twice as much on the sixth day. So what happened? Some people said, I don't believe God. You got what is it that nobody had ever seen before? It's there. They get their food. So they try to keep it overnight. It gets maggots and flies. You didn't do what God said. But on the sixth day, didn't get maggots and flies. It lasted for 2 days because God said, I want you to take 1 day out of seven to rest. And God did this to show his daily provision for Israel. And it tasted like sweet bread, sweet coriander seed. I'm not sure what coriander seed tastes like, but that's the description. God provided for it every day. They had everything they need, exactly the amount they needed. God provided their daily needs to teach them that he was the one providing. Some people try to say, you know, there couldn't be 2 million people live in the desert for 40 years. They can if God's feeding them every day. He also brought birds in so they had meat to eat too. That came in the evening. The bread was in the morning. God provided everything they need. And then it says, give us today our daily bread. That word in Greek for daily, this is the only place it's ever used. It's a compound word. This compound word, the only place it's ever used in the New Testament. And it's very, very rare in classical Greek. Basically, it means give us what we need sufficient for today. So you could translate it, give us this day the bread which is today's necessary requirement. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8, the author of Proverbs says, don't give me too much. Don't give me too little. Give me exactly what I need. If you give me too much, I might get arrogant, take pride myself. Give me too little, I might steal and profane your name. Give me exactly what I need. And Paul describes this also in Philippians. He says, I've learned to be content in every situation, whether I have a lot or a little, because I know where everything comes from. And then, give us today our daily bread. Bread is exactly what we need. It's a word that it's not limited just to bread. It's our daily substance. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Satan saw that he was hungry. He said, Scripture says you can turn these stones into bread. Scripture also says, Jesus replied, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And in John, the Gospel, chapter 6, and in the, I'm not going to read the entire Gospel or chapter, but you can. Let me just give you a summary of what's happening in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. Jesus takes 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children, so probably about 20,000 people, feeds them. And they see the miracle, and it says they want to make him king by force. They're going to force him to be king. So Jesus slips from their midst. Later on, they catch up with him. Jesus says, you're following not because of what I taught you, but because you got fed and your bellies are full. Look for food that lasts. This food doesn't last forever that I gave you. Then they say an interesting thing. Well, show us a miracle and we'll believe you. I just fed 20,000 people with nothing. And you want to see a miracle? Well, you're looking in the wrong direction. They say, well, Moses gave us manna. in the wilderness. Jesus says that was God's provision to see if you would follow and trust him. And Jesus says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. You must eat my body and drink my blood. So we can't do that. How can we do that? And in verse 60, it says, at that point, many departed from him. This is too difficult. A total commitment to Jesus? No, we're not going to do that. And Jesus turns to the disciples and says, are you going to leave me too? Peter says, where will we go? You alone have the words of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Now, our passage with the model prayer isn't talking solely about physical bread. It is primarily, give us today what we need today. But it does have an application, give us today what we need for all eternity. There are two destinations for every human, heaven or hell. Just recently, a submersible was destroyed as it went down to do a tourist visit to the Titanic. Five people died. Are they in heaven or are they in hell? I don't know. They had to make their decision before they died. They're either going to be one place or the other. They are not at the bottom of the ocean. Their bodies are, but the moment of death, Scripture tells us, to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. We immediately face judgment day, and we'll hear one of two things, depart from me or enter into heaven. Those are the only two destinations, and we can't do it on our own. That's why our passage says, give us what we need. Because we can't get to heaven on our own. Give us what we need. We can't handle one day on our own without God, without his provision. We have an opportunity to share with others. Now, I will tell you, each of those five individuals that died in that submersible had an opportunity to make a decision. Because God desires that no one perish, but that all come to repentance. But not all people do. Just like when Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, many of them left him because it was too hard to make a total commitment to Jesus. But that was their only hope. Just like it's our only hope today. Now, I will tell you there's a little bit of good news in that. After Jesus rose from the dead, many of those people that had said no before said yes. Even many of those that had been the ones that had been trying to trick him with questions, many of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, became obedient to the faith. Two of them even buried Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They were two of the religious leaders. Now, they weren't attacking Jesus during his life. Before his resurrection. But they were giving a testimony, and they came out publicly once Jesus was crucified. Because you can't hide in the shadows by going and grabbing the body of Jesus and taking it and putting it in a tomb. They became and are known as two of the religious leaders that were obedient to the faith. And you will see Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea in heaven. And you know, you don't need name cards. Now, my last high school reunion I went to, they had our name cards and our high school picture on it. And that was so helpful. Because, you know, I look exactly like I did then, but nobody else does. Well, no, I don't. But I had somebody saw my high school picture and go, what happened to you? Okay. It's like that t-shirt I saw. You know, it's strange being the same age as old people. Well, in heaven, we will know as we're known. And when Peter, James, and John were with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, they go, there's Moses, there's Elijah. They didn't look through their flashcards of Old Testament prophets. They knew who they were. It's a good thing because there are going to be a lot of people in heaven because there's room for everyone. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He prepared hell for Satan and the rebellious angels. But we will have an opportunity to go there if we reject God's offer of forgiveness, which is what we're going to be talking about Wednesday. Forgive us as we have forgiven. It's easy for us to ask for forgiveness. It's hard for us to forgive others. But we should practice what we desire. God has an answer, and God desires that we look to Him as the provision for our daily needs. Stand with me for our closing prayer. If there's any questions, I'll be here at the front at the end of the service. Lord, thank you for this time we could be here. I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, let us remember that you are the source of our daily needs. Let us remember you desire a personal relationship with us and that you know what we need, but we need to be reminded that it comes from you. And then let us go share with others the forgiveness, the provision that you've given us, and the love you have for us as you would pray in our situation. In Jesus' name, amen.